sermon for this morning is entitled, We Answer to a Higher Authority, and some of you have seen us do something similar to this in the past. The message title helps us to think about our fellowship time that will follow after this service, in which we have little bites of hot dog treats. I know there's cookies, too, out there, and things to drink. So our scripture readings for this morning are Deuteronomy chapter 6, in the Old Testament, beginning at verse 4, then I'm going to read the Pentecost traditional reading from the lectionary, Acts 2, 1 to 4, and then I'm going to add one verse that I didn't tell the technical team about, Romans 12, 2, and I'll read that for you. You won't have to look at the screen for that one verse. But first, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, this is the Shema, this is the Hear, O Israel passage, the way in which the prophet of old told people to remember God and give God God's proper place. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And then from Acts chapter 2, the reading for Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And then the piece I just want you to listen to, you've heard this passage before, Romans 12, verse 2, if you want to write it down, Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let us pray as we come to the message. O God of spirit and truth, just as your followers did on that first Pentecost, may we experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our own lives today. Ignite us, O God, with your Spirit. Inspire us with your Spirit. Empower us with your Spirit. We pray for this power which we need, which is far beyond our own power as human beings. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock, redeemer, and friend. In Christ's name, amen. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, God giving the gift of the Holy Spirit to fill our very lives. It's an important day. And some of you know me well enough that I'm not into gimmicks in worship or gimmicks in sermons. However, if you are new to us, you should know that about every 3 or 4 years, we've used the theme from the sermon title for special Sundays like today, which also tells about our fellowship time today and the treats that will follow. And I believe this theme is so important for Pentecost Sunday. On the day of Pentecost, we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit descending like a mighty rush of wind upon the disciples and the followers of Jesus Christ. And the flame came to inspire God's people and to empower God's people in ministry and mission to the world, the gift of the Spirit. And the church grew in great number after the day of Pentecost. Let me also remind you today of an advertisement, a very specific advertisement for Hebrew National hot dogs. And they both, this motto of Hebrew National Hot Dogs, this advertisement, it points to our scripture readings for today and has a very important message for us. But Hebrew National Hot Dogs, if you don't know, they are very good hot dogs, one of my favorites, because of what's on the inside. Hebrew National Hot Dogs are all beef. And they're kosher, of course, which means they are sanctioned by Jewish law. They are blessed by God. This is the advertisement for Hebrew National Hot Dogs. If you haven't read the package lately, read it next time you go in the store. It says on the package, "Our hot dogs have no meat byproducts. They have no artificial additives. They have no meat fillers. The USDA standards allow artificial additives and fillers in hot dogs. However, we answer to a higher authority." Trust me, there's a sermon in here somewhere. But even today, written on the packaging of all Hebrew National products is that motto, "We answer to a higher authority." And so here's the question on Memorial Day weekend to all of us and to our nation. What is the authority to which this nation is guided? What authority do we look to? What is the authority which guides your personal decisions and directs how you live out your life? What authority do you place yourself under? The Apostle Paul, in the letters that he wrote to the New Testament, he was writing to people who were struggling with those questions about how to live life out, how to live faith out in diverse times and a diverse culture. It was a very pluralistic world to which Paul wrote his letters to people who were struggling with faith. In fact, his messages, had become so effective that many who heard him were beginning to give up the worship of false idols. And instead, they were turning to worship of the one true God revealed in Jesus Christ. And we can read about this all through the book of Acts. As the church grew in number, people were turning to worship in the one true God. And more people responded. And as more people responded, controversy began, because Paul's writings were upsetting the marketplace. There were people in that day and time in that culture who sold as their business all sorts of false idols and animals for sacrifice to false idols. And their businesses were suffering because of Paul's writings and Paul's preachings about worshiping the one true God. People were interested in this. And in our reading from Romans, we hear Paul calling people to live by God's authority rather than the standards of the world. And it's true. We need to hear that on this Memorial Day weekend. As people of faith gathered in churches and places of worship all in our land, we are called to live by a higher authority, not just by the standards that we set or others set or that people just feel good about. We're called to live by a higher authority. However, people make choices in all manner of ways. Sometimes people choose no ultimate authority in their life except themselves. And this isn't anything that's new. In one of the oldest books of the Bible, in the book of Judges, you can read that when there was no king in Israel, people did what was right in their own eyes. That's an old story, and it's true. Sometimes people don't listen to any ultimate authority except themselves. And those who choose to live by that particular standard, they really do live by their own moral authority, not a higher authority. They live by themselves, and often when they're in trouble, they choose to face it by themselves as well. Well, secondly, some people choose the standard of using how they feel, their emotions, how they feel about something to know whether it's good or not to do. And so feelings become their moral authority. And you know this standard. We've lived by this. We've heard about it often in commercials. If it feels good is the standard. If it feels good, then just do it. Over the centuries, again and again, the answer to that kind of authority has been no, because people can change how they feel about things from one day to the next, from one century to the next, about how they treat a certain people or how they behave in certain ways. If it feels good, do it is not a good higher authority. It'll get you into trouble. A third authority people sometimes choose in how they live is that of letting others set the standard for how they live, to set the moral authority, letting others do that. You've heard of that before. This standard is known by the expression, if others are doing it, it must be okay. Have you heard that before? A lot of people live by that motto, by that kind of authority. If others are doing it, let them set the standard. It must be okay. Well, is it okay to live that way? Of course not. Of course it's not. Just because everyone is doing it doesn't make it right and doesn't make it safe, for that matter. Here's a story that I like to tell that makes the point of if everyone is doing it, it's okay. There was once a spider who built a beautiful web, and she kept it clean and shiny so that flies would visit it. The minute she got a customer, this spider, she would wrap it up so that other flies would not get suspicious, and she would stow it away for later consumption. And then one day, a fairly intelligent fly came buzzing by that clean spider web, and the old black spider called out, "Come in, Mr. Fly, sit with me." But the fairly intelligent fly said, "No, what? No way. I don't see any other flies near your house, and I'm not coming in alone." But presently, the fairly intelligent fly saw on the floor below a large crowd of flies dancing on beautiful, shiny brown paper. And he was delighted. He was not afraid. If lots of other flies were doing it, it must be okay. And so he came in for a landing, this fairly intelligent fly. But just before he landed, a bee zoomed by, saying, "Don't land there, dummy. That's fly paper." But the fairly intelligent fly shouted back, "Don't be silly. There's a crowd down there. Everybody's doing it. That many flies can't be wrong." And you know what? They were wrong. They were dead flies with sticky feet. Just because everyone is doing it doesn't make it right or good to do. The Apostle Paul said a remarkable thing to those early Christians struggling with how to make decisions and by what authority. They had adopted standards around them. And so he wrote to them saying, "Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. Rather," he said, "be transformed. Be transformed by the renewal of your minds." In other words, remember, you answer to a higher authority, and let a higher authority then transform your life, not the other ways that we mentioned. Well, there are also people who live by the standard of the law, legalism, using laws, the laws of the land as a standard. And the motto for this is, if there is no law against it, it must be okay to do or not to do. But living life with the goal of not breaking laws is not good enough. There is no law, for example, that says you must be kind to those who are in need or those who are suffering. There's no law for that. Laws have limitations, which is to say you can break no law and be immoral at the same time, right? And this brings us back to that Hebrew National Hot Dog motto and the sermon for today. I want to challenge you to live a life that is at least as moral as a good hot dog? That's the challenge. Will you live by a higher authority? The higher authority, of course, that we lift up together is the worship of Almighty God today. And today, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our authority as well. He points to the inner spirit and not the outer law. Jesus said, it's what's inside of you that's important. What's inside of you becomes the source that feeds your outer life. And so be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Remember how he said it? You have heard it in the past that you shall not kill. But I say to you, even he who hates his brother or sister has already committed murder in his or her heart. Remember how he said, you have been told to love your friends and hate your enemies, but I say, love your enemies. He also said, no greater love is there than this, than one day one lay down their life for their friends. And you are my friends, he said, if you keep my commandments. You see, God invites us to be pure in heart and mind. It's a higher standard to which our God calls us to live by. The Lord our God invites us to go beyond just duty, to go the second mile, to go beyond just being decent, to go beyond what the law requires. He calls us to do justice, to love mercy, and to live by the character of Jesus Christ himself. That's a higher authority for sure. And one thing more I'll share about Pentecost today. Just one thing more. Pentecost, you see, is not about our own willpower. That we have the power within us to do that which we need to do. The world we live in is a world of competition. It's a world of achievement. It shouts the myth about the limitless personal power within each one of us. If we just dig deep enough and work hard, everything will come out all right. This myth, like many myths, is only partially true. It is a half-truth that if we only try harder or just have a positive attitude, everything will work out. That's a half-truth. The rest of the truth is that our every act of will, our every human effort is really limited by our human condition. Now, this story, for example, which tells that truth, it's a fun story. It's one of my favorite peanut cartoon stories. It's a story about Linus. Linus liked peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and in this particular comic, he's enjoying a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and he stops for a minute to observe his hands after eating that sandwich. And he says to Lucy, hey, Lucy, did you notice I have fascinating hands? I like my hands. My hands, Lucy, have a lot of character. These are hands which someday may accomplish great things. They may help people. They may heal people. They may build mighty bridges or hit home runs or write some inspiring novel. And then he cries out to Lucy, Lucy, these are hands that may change the destiny of the world. And Lucy says to Linus, you have jelly on your hands. And that's the truth. Every human effort has jelly on its hands. Every human effort will always fall short. Now again, don't misunderstand me before this sermon is over. The power of the Holy Spirit does not eliminate the need of our expertise, the need of our personal willpower, the need to have a positive attitude or to be positive about the future. The Holy Spirit does not eliminate just plain old hard work. We need to do these things as best as we can. But at the same time, we have to trust a higher authority and a higher power that is beyond all things and above all things and in all things. And that mystery we celebrate today on Pentecost is called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is alive and well and works in ways that we cannot imagine or think possible. And that's true in your life and in mine. Praise be to God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks again this day for your Spirit. For without your Spirit, the church would wither, and so would our very lives. And so give us this day your Holy Spirit, O Lord. Ignite us, we pray, with faith, that we may encourage those around us and build homes of peace and welcome. O Lord, guide us. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, we pray for that. Amen.